Hello, my name is Eric Ponder, and I am here with Millie Summers-Gills, who is a former resident of Hillbrow. And Millie, can you first talk about how you first moved into Hillbrow?
At the time that I moved to Hillbrow, I remember it was after I had got my first job and bought my first car. So it was not intended to be permanent, but it was a lot more transitional. And the choice of area was not much of a choice because I didn't know anything about renting an apartment or anything like that. So I asked a friend of mine to help me look, and he got me this apartment. He told me that the apartment next door to his was becoming available. So yeah, having a friend neighbor that close was a fantastic support structure. So I was there between 18 months and 2 years, and moved on from there.
So your parents lived in
El Dorado Park.
El Dorado Park, which was a colored,
fundamentally colored township. It is slightly west of Soweto, and therefore, because you know Soweto stands for Southwestern Townships, right? So the Cliptown, where the ANC signed the Freedom Charter, I think in the 1940s or so.
48.
And somehow I just knew that, I thought. Yeah, 1948. So El Dorado Park, or rather Cliptown, is the border almost between Soweto and El Dorado Park. So they all basically qualified as the Southwestern Township. So it's very different in the respect that it was, they don't have apartments there, they have flats. And you know, I think I was also ready for new things, and I think I was, even if new things took me to uncharted territory. And it's a good thing that my apartment faced away from Hillbrow. It was on the outskirts. It was one of those very old historic buildings. My apartment faced away from Hillbrow, so a lot of the noise was away from my balcony.
Do you have any major memories from staying there that you can think of?
I had two balconies on my apartment. One was over a taxi rank, which was very, very noisy. And after a while, I adapted to the noise, but I also think that there was a part of me that when I moved from there in the first week or two, I moved and all of a sudden I was falling asleep to silence. That was a massive paradigm shift for me, and I thought it would actually induce a nervous breakdown because I am prone to PTSD. So yeah, I had to catch myself very quick when it got quiet and those kinds of things. My other balcony looked over a crossroad, the Louis Botha crossroad. So sometimes I would actually see raids happening where people were used to, there was a phase and point in time where people used to falsify documents. So if they couldn't produce their documents then they'd get thrown into the police van, you know, and sometimes you couldn't tell, are they from the northern border, but on South Africa side, or are they from outside of the country. So it was a lot more enforced, which ironically sounds like apartheid laws and the need to have your passport with you.
So when did Hillbrow become this kind of cosmopolitan neighborhood where Africans from all over the continent was coming to Hillbrow to live?
I think that Hillbrow was one of the first developed, what would I call it, residential, urban residential areas. And it also had a lot of high-rise apartments, but it was expanding so rapidly that it was now it had become a transitional area, because a lot of our local South African celebrities, when they were coming up to Joburg to make it run about my generation, a lot of them started off in Hillbrow as their launch base. Also because I think by then it was still decent-ish, and apartments were affordable. So as soon as they became slightly established and financially able of it, then they transitioned from there. So yeah, it. But I think also what also led to the dilapidation that it had become was its self-renewal couldn't happen because its soul was too fragmented, and it was very cosmopolitan. So people were coming in and out faster than it could regenerate itself as a locus of, you know, as a meeting place of different kinds of people. So it now became basically that sort of pit stop over, and then move on from there. So it's almost like a lot of people kind of learned the ropes there.
Okay. So apartheid pretty much kept most Africans, South Africans, black South Africans, out of the city, you know, out into the townships and what have you. So now, in a post-apartheid South Africa, around 94 or around 90, when the apartheid laws began to lessen, what was the dynamic of the city and about spaces and where you could go as far as looking for places to live and things like that?
I think that when people were sort of transitioning from townships to suburbs, those that were able to afford it went straight to the suburbs as families. But there were also those, the younger ones who were starting out, that would, you know, go to Hillbrow, probably share digs with others. And I think by round about the time of this book was round about the time that I actually stayed there, you know, and there were a lot of people who, you know, were staying in sort of a lot of cross-border traffic, where they found themselves in Hillbrow. And I think ultimately it just got to so many people, so many undocumented people, that it was almost like a safety in numbers. No, but they can't arrest all of us, or I'll just make sure that I sort of stay invisible in the crowd, yet in plain sight at the same time, you know, and sort of eke out a living there, you know, doing something, either selling fruit and veg or being hawkers, or finding jobs in shops and things like that as shop assistants.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Millie.
Thank you, Eric.